don't believe. Let me say it again. Lord, I don't feel no waste time, Lord. Come too far. I started from. Can you say nobody told me the road would be easy? I don't believe he brought me this far to lead me. Like I said, one more time, I don't feel no waste time. Come too far from where I started from. No. The road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought me. Who am I talking to? Can say I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought me this far to lead me. I don't believe that. And in Memphis we would say, stay with me, Jesus. Stay with me, Lord. Stay with me, Jesus. Stay with me, Lord. Yeah, stay with me, Jesus. Stay with me. Is there anybody just want him to stay with me? Jesus. Stay with me, Lord. Stay with me. Stay with me, Jesus. Stay with me, Lord. I don't believe he brought me this far to lead me. Amen. Don't believe that the Lord brought me this far to lead me. And because of that, I asked the Lord to stay with me, Jesus. Who am I talking to that every now and then you got to tell him, stay with me, Jesus. The road gets rough, but stay with me, Jesus. The going gets tough. And doesn't it get tough sometimes? But Sandra, won't he stay with you? Michael, he'll stay with you. Yes, he will. Stay with me, Jesus. What a beautiful second Sunday in 2016 it is. And what a beautiful day in Rochester, New York it is. Isn't God good to us that he let us? Amen. Amen. Folks in Minnesota are buried under snow, and look at God blessing us. Amen. Amen. And so we thank the Lord. I mean, if he dump on us now, it's wintertime. Amen. It's wintertime. It's Rochester and it's wintertime, but the Lord has been good to our light bills. He's been good. See, God's been good to us, and some of us don't even realize he blessed us with our light bills, blessed us with the heat, blessed us with the gas bills. Amen. Amen. Haven't had to pay them gas bills yet. Haven't had to pay them big light bills yet. Amen. Which means, praise the Lord, which means we can pay our tithes with a joyful spirit today. Amen. Because you're not worried about paying your gas bill, because the Lord has paid that this month. Amen. Amen. This is still a wonderful opportunity in the life of our church to give our tithe and give our offerings today. And so I'm asking everybody to consider your tithes and consider your offerings today. If you make $100 a week, if you make $50 a week, amen. If you make $50 a week, if you make $50 a week, then your tithe is $5. And your offering is whatever you want to give to the Lord, just to say, God, I thank you. Amen. If you made $100, if your salary, if your pay, if you want it, however you got it legally, then your gift is, if your income is $100, your tithe is $10. If your income is $200, your tithe is, come on, go with me, $20. If your income is $250, your tithe is how much? If your income is $300, your tithe is, these are not trick questions. I just want all of y'all to say it. It's 10%. And so if your income is $400, if your income is $1,000, now, you know, the Lord has been good to Mount Olivet. If your income is $2,000, then your tithe is $200. And the Lord is still good. If your income is $4,000, then your tithe is $400. That's what God requires of us. And then your offering is like, God, thank you for waking me. God, thank you for my children being out of jail or being protected while they are in jail. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a sound mind while Fufu them are acting up. Come on, y'all. Amen. I mean, it's every way you look at life, it's a blessing. Come on, talk to me. I say, every way you look at life, it's a blessing. Every way you look at life, it's a blessing. Amen. You woke up this morning. You got your sound mind. You ate. Who dressed you this morning? Amen. If you dressed yourself, that's a blessing. If somebody dressed you, that's a blessing. If you had a place to sleep that you paid for, that's a blessing. And then if you had to sleep at somebody's house that you didn't have to pay for because you don't have a place to stay, that's a blessing. If you had your own food to eat, that's a blessing. But if you had to go to somebody else's house and eat their food, that's a blessing. And so we give our tithe out of obedience and we give our offerings out of love. Let us pray. God, our Father, we come in the name of Jesus to be obedient this morning and to express our love to you. We ask that you bless each person who is obedient this morning and each person who will express their love to you. And then, God, those who have a desire to be obedient but are unable to do it, we ask for that same blessing upon that person. In other words, Lord, bless all of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Don't you swing
down, Terry Stockton, let me ride.
Oh,
swing down, Terry Stockton, let me ride.
Oh, rock me, Lord, come and ease it. I got a home on the other side.
Don't you swing.
Swing down, Terry Stockton,
let me ride.
Oh, swing.
Swing down, Terry Stockton.
Come on, everybody, snap your fingers like this. Rock me, Lord, come and ease it. let me rise. Say, rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Come and ease. I've got a home on
put
the
your hands together.
Other
say, I've never been to heaven,
swing.
But I've been told
swing.
The streets up there
swing.
Are paved with gold.
Oh,
if you
swing.
Don't believe
swing.
That I've been redeemed,
swing.
Follow me on down
swing.
The Jordan stream.
Oh,
my
swing.
Hand got stuck
swing.
In the gospel plow.
Swing.
But it wouldn't take nothing
swing.
From my journey now.
Why don't you swing?
Come on, put your hands together with us. Oh, sweet. Say, yeah, rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Come.
Come and
I got
a home on me.
Put your hands together and say, said I've never been to heaven, but I've been told the streets of hell are paved with gold. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, follow me on down the Jordan stream. Why don't you
swing?
Say swing. Say rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Come and easy. Say, I've got a home on. Come on, everybody, join in with us. Say, I've got a home.
I've got a home.
I've got a home.
Come on.
I've got a home.
I've got a home.
Over in Judah.
I've got a home.
I've got a home.
Said I've got a home.
Where the streets are paved with gold. Said I've got a home. The people waiting on me. Said
I've got a home.
I'm going to lay down. Lay at Jesus' feet. Said
I've got a home.
And you've got a home.
Father, we would like to thank you for these tithes and offerings that you have given to us, Lord. We ask that you bless the giver and bless those who had desired to give but had not. Lord, may these blessings be used to do your work and to bless your kingdom here on earth. These things we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God for another opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. with God's people. I'm excited today. Glad to be here. Glad to see you here. Ready to preach God's word. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. And prepare to read with me. And if you don't have your Bible, there should be one in the pew or one that's close to you. I'll ask that you get that Bible. Read this text with me, please. When I stop, you start. We share this text together today. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to the second church of Asia Minor. I said last Sunday as we started this series that it's like the series that we watch on TV. You almost need the previous episode to fully understand. One of the things that happens on most of the seasonal TVs that we watch, when the new show comes on, it sort of gives you a preview of what happened in the last episode. I won't be able to preview each previous episode, but what I really believe that God wants us here every Sunday. Be here every Sunday. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. And let's get whatever it is that God has for us. How many of you believe that God has something for you? Amen. I believe that God has something. And so say this little prayer. God, I did not come here today for shape, form, or fashion. I did not come to see. I did not come to be seen. I did not come to hear Ricky Harvey. I came to hear from the Lord. Lord, help him. Bless him. Clear his pathway between you and he and thee, that we may be able, that I may be able to hear from you and see what it is you want me to do and hear what it is you want me to know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, right, which was dead and is, I know thy works and but thou art rich, and art not Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and you shall have tribulation. Be thou faithful, and I will give thee. He that hath, let him what the Spirit. He that overcometh of the second death. You may be seated in the presence of God. Now, this sermon has so many titles until it's ridiculous. It's the seven churches of Asia Minor / Smyrna. It's God's word for his church. It's the poor little rich church. And it's the rich little poor church. You got that? It's, of course, the series is the seven churches of Asia Minor / Smyrna. It's God's word for his church. Whose church is it? It's mine by stewardship. It's yours by membership. It's the community's by fellowship. It's God's by ownership. Ownership trumps stewardship. Ownership trumps membership. And ownership trumps fellowship. So it's God's word to his church. And then, of course, if you look in your Bibles, if you have various versions, it gives the topic as the poor little rich church or the rich little poor church. Smyrna, second churches in the series of the seven churches. First church was Ephesus. Good church that had done everything right except loved God in their heart. Ephesus, remember? Great church. Did everything right. Followed the law. Followed the doctrine. Followed the traditions. Did everything right. They just didn't have God in their heart. Amen? All right, let's talk about this church today, Smyrna. Smyrna was located, T.D. Jakes said in a conference once, that once you get your sermons together, go in and take everything out that does not have to be said. Everything that's not necessary, take it out. I've tried to do that. And even this line that I'm about to say here, I tried to take it out. I took it out and I put it back. I took it out and I put it back. So let me read this to you. Let me give this to you. It says, Smyrna was located some 35 miles north of Ephesus. And I kept trying to figure, why would I leave that in there? Well, one, in as much as we're doing a series on churches, Ephesus was last Sunday, today is Smyrna. It's almost like saying last Sunday's church was in Batavia. And here we are about 35 miles away in Rochester. Y'all got that? So last Sunday's church was technically, for the sake of distance, was in Batavia. And today we're in Rochester, just to kind of give you a little idea of how close we are in proximity and how different we are in terms of the type of churches that we have. This church was, Smyrna was a prosperous city with a population of over 100,000 people in the day when the Apostle John wrote this text. That location has been inhabited for over 3,000 years, and no one knows for sure who founded Smyrna or when it was founded. The city was destroyed. Listen to this. This city, this small city, was destroyed by a massive earthquake a few years before the birth of Jesus Christ. But somehow this city was rebuilt, and even today the city of Smyrna thrives. It possessed a safe harbor where ships from all over the world would come in, buy and sell their goods. And it was called, Wade said something about this in my office today, it was called the Crown City because it was surrounded by hills that resembled one a crown. And it was also called the Flower of Asia. When Smyrna chose a motto to be imprinted in their culture and on their coinage, they chose the phrase, first in Asia, in size and beauty. Several characteristics made the city of Smyrna special in its day. One, it was famous for the production of myrrh, M-Y-R-R-H. R-R-H. Remember this, because remember in an episode, it's those small things that you come back to later in the picture. So keep this in mind. This city, Smyrna, is known for its production of myrrh. Let me tell you what myrrh is. It's a substance that came from a shrub-like tree that produced the bitter gum. And when the leaves of this tree were crushed, that's a good word for us to remember. Remember myrrh. And remember crush. When the leaves of this tree were crushed, they exuded, they gave off a very fragrant odor. Keep that in mind. Myrrh was used as a fragrance by the living. But it was also used as an embalming agent for the dead. Myrrh was mentioned in association with the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. You find myrrh in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. You find myrrh in Mark chapter 15, verse 23. You find myrrh in John chapter 19, verse 39. Now, the word myrrh means bitter, bitter. And it came to be associated with the sufferings and the death of Jesus Christ. Among the other factors that made the city of Smyrna special include the fact that it was a planned city. Most cities of that time just sort of sprang up without design, but Smyrna and its streets were planned down to the last detail. In other words, the fathers of that time got together and they planned to put the city of Smyrna where it was. All of the details of this city were worked out. It was a planned city. It was a very religious city, and many temples, gods dedicated to the gods. It was a city that was dedicated, listen, to the gods and the goddesses that they worshiped. There were temples dedicated to Zeus and Apollo, Aphrodite, Cybele, other gods. This city just had many gods that they worshiped, many goddesses that they worshiped. Smyrna was a free city. They governed themselves, but they were intensely loyal to Rome. On one occasion, the citizens of Smyrna, they stripped off the very clothing from their backs, and they sent it along with food to the people that they could find for the Roman soldiers who were out there cold and hungry and on the battlefield. They took their own clothes off of their backs. They took food from their tables and they sent it to the soldiers on the battlefield. In this beautiful, wealthy, pagan city, there existed a struggling Christian community. All of this was going on in Smyrna, worshiping of gods, worshiping of goddesses. But in the midst of this pagan town, there was a little struggling Christian church by the name of Smyrna. The church in Smyrna was undergoing intense and withering persecution. And the Lord Jesus comes to them with a word of comfort. And here is my strength from this church already. And here's what I give to you. Or here's what I ask you. Isn't it amazing how in your darkest day, on your darkest time, in your darkest moment, God can come to you with the word of comfort. And so he comes to Smyrna in a dark time. Somebody say, thank God for dark times. God will come to you in your dark times. And he comes to Smyrna in a dark time, blue, and he tells them that even though they appear to be so weak and so poor in the midst of this rich city, he says, you seem so weak and you seem so poor, weak, because there is like what's happening in Rochester. People are killing all around us. I mean, every time you turn around, people are killing and people are hurting one another, and people are breaking in and they're taking our stuff and they're making life hard, and it looks like the church is so weak. And not only does it look like the church is weak, it looks like the church is poor. And God walks in during that dark time, Genesis Street, during that dark time, Warwood Street, during that dark time, Bay Street, during that dark time when troubles were going on, killing going on, almost massacres going on in the Rochester community, God walks in. And he says to this Christian community that seems to be weak and seems to be poor, he says, I know what it seems like, but you are in fact rich beyond imagination. You're rich. Practically and personally, you are rich. Somebody ought to just say amen right there. I know you ain't got this whole episode yet, but that's still a good place to say amen. Anytime God can say you're rich in a dark time, that's an amen. Anytime God can say it's not as bad as you think, somebody ought to say amen. Anytime God says it's not as bad as it appears, somebody ought to say amen. And there's a word for every one of us here who has ever or will ever suffer for Jesus' sake. God has a word for Smyrna that will give you what you need in order to stand when everybody else is against you. This rich little poor church. Let's talk about this church today. First of all, Smyrna was a crushed church. Verse 8 says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things which says the first and the last. Here's the key in this verse right here, which was dead. This is Jesus himself talking. He said, this is the Jesus which was dead and is alive. And guess what? The Jesus in our life who was dead and is alive is saying to us, Mike, he's saying, I know your works, and I know your tribulation, and I know your poverty. He says, but thou art rich. He says, I know the blasphemy of them which says they are Jews and are not. Smyrna was going through these intense problems because of their testimony. Smyrna was really saying, I don't feel no ways tied. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. Smyrna was hanging in there and it was getting darker and darker. But they let their light shine in a dark world, and yet they were persecuted for letting their light shine. The Bible says they were crushed. The text says they were crushed. Now, I know what you want to know. You want to know how were they crushed. It's right here in the text. First of all, they faced persecution. Where do you see that at? Don't you see this word tribulation? The word really means, in the original text, it means pressure. It was used in that day to refer to crushing an object under the weight of very heavy stones. Come here. The word tribulation comes from the Latin word tribulum, and it refers to stone wheels, big stone wheels that were used to crush wheat. Now, why did they use big stone wheels to crush wheat? Because in that wheat, you had the kernel and the shell. And the only thing you wanted from the wheat was the kernel. And so those heavy stones would run over the wheat and it would separate the kernel from the shell. If trouble is happening in your life, you know what I really got a feeling that God is doing. He's separating the man, the boy from the man. When he's running over us with those heavy, heavy burdens and those heavy loads, it's really God's way of separating the spirit man from the fleshly man. It's God's way of making us what he wants us to be, reaching inside of us and pulling out the best of us and throwing the worst of us away. Now, what I like about God is God will pull the best of us out and keep it. And he'll forget about the worst of us. That's the difference between God and man. God will pull the best of us out, keep that, and throw away the worst of us. Man will pull the worst of us out. And then they'll throw away all of your good. Somebody else say, ouch, or amen. I said, won't man do that? I don't care how much you good you do. Man will pull your bad out. Highlight your bad and throw your good away. But when the stone wheels crushed the wheat, they separated the bad from the good, the kernel from the shell, and the harvesters would throw the shells away. And they would keep the kernel. Somebody say, I'm glad God keeps the kernel. Man throws the kernel away and keeps the shell. God throws the shell away and keeps the kernel. This much was paying the price. This church was paying the price for their allegiance to God. And the pressure was on. And when you become loyal to God, the pressure is on. When you get in Bible study, who am I talking to? That time you commit to tithing, something goes wrong. Who am I talking to? Time you commit to coming to Bible study consistently, something goes wrong. Who am I talking to? Time you commit to morning devotions at home, something goes wrong. The pressure was on and they were suffering. The persecution did not come from pagans in Smyrna alone. Verse 9 says, it tells us that they were also suffering at the hands of those who called themselves Jews. Jews in Smyrna joined hands with the idolaters in that city to defeat and destroy the Christians. There is a war going on. There was a war and there still is a war going on. And if you don't understand that life is a war and the only person on our side is God, if you don't understand that, you will always be defeated. And so they face persecution, which is tribulation. But notice in this text, he says, I know your poverty. They face persecution, but they also face poverty. The word speaks of poverty. Poverty meaning absolute destitute. Smyrna church had people had nothing of this world's good because of their relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were denied jobs. They were denied promotions because of their testimony. And I'm talking to people in here. We get upset because things don't go right in our life, because somebody looked over us, because somebody misunderstood. It happens in the church. Imagine how Satan must have mocked these people as they passed this ornate, wonderful temple and walked down the golden street. Surely, he said, serving Jesus has cost you everything. Can't you kind of hear Satan whispering in their ears saying, look at you. There's some people who do you like that. Here you are at church every time the doors are open. There are some folk on your street giving the opportunity to say, now look at you. Look at you. Just lost a loved one. Look at you. Can't pay your car note. Look at you. Don't have a job. Look at you. Your son is in trouble. That's what the pagans are doing to this church. They're saying, look at them. Your marriage has failed. Look at you. Call yourself a child of God. Your refrigerator's going out. Your house is being foreclosed. Your car is being repossessed. Look at you. call yourself a child of God. But what I like about this text is God says to the church, I know. Oh, my brothers and sisters, that just made me so happy when I looked at this text. I looked at what the devil was saying to the church. Here you are, call yourself a Bible-believing church, and the doors are about to be shut. Look at you. Here you are, you're in poverty, and God says, I know. And the reason I got so excited about that, because anything that God knows about, God takes care of. And God knows everything about you. How you think you're doing so well? I don't care. I don't care what you don't have. Look at how well you are doing. I just wish I had one or two Southerners in here this morning. Just one or two that could just look at how well you're doing. I mean, can I get a witness when I tell you God has been good to all of us? Just look at what you got on. You don't think you've been good. Look at what you got on. Well, wait. Don't look at what you got on. Look at what you left at home. Look at what you left back at home. You had to go through stuff to just pick out this stuff to put home this morning. Look where you slept last night. Bed you slept in. Look at how you got your water. I'm about to get happy. I don't even supposed to get happy on this, but look at how you got your water. You just walked down to your kitchen and just flipped the faucet and water started running. Now don't sit up in here and act like you come from just running water. You know, I'm looking at some folk that had to get up early in the morning. Go outside, go get the bucket and go get the dipper and dip up the water. Well, maybe you didn't, but your folks did. And so they face persecution. But facing persecution with God is still victory. Facing poverty with God is still rich. But not only did they face persecution and poverty, they also faced prison. How do you know? Verse 10 tells us that there's still more trouble ahead. They face 10 days. The Bible says 10 days of persecution. The Christians suffered under the Romans. It might simply mean that the persecution had not stopped. Look, this is kind of how it is. It stops today. And before you can get a break, it starts up. It stops. And it starts. Either way, they're informed that more pain, somebody say more pain, and more suffering is on the way. Now, prison in that day, listen, prison in these days were nothing like prison today. I mean, when people went to prison under the Roman system, they didn't get a college education while they were in prison. They didn't learn a skill while they were in prison. They didn't spend their days, people go to prison now and come out with a best-selling book. Now, you didn't go to prison and write books. You didn't go to prison and watch Oprah on TV. When a person went to prison in those days, they went to await execution. That's why they went to prison. They went to await execution. The only way you got out of jail in those days was to die. And death was usually a horrible affair. You might be killed by a sword. You might be burned alive. You might be thrown into the wild animal's cage or any of the dozen of cruel methods of torture and torment that they had devised. Now, I can't teach the Second Church of Asia Minor and not tell you about this Christian leader of the church by the name of Polycarp. Polycarp, if you've read the history, I really ought to have more amens on this, because all I've heard is we've been studying the book of Revelation. We've been studying the book of Revelation. Somebody ought to help me preach this today. And you ought to know that when I tell you about this Christian angel of the church by the name of Polycarp, he was the messenger of the church of Smyrna. Polycarp was the pastor. He was the contemporary of the Apostle John who wrote these things. Polycarp was brought before the Roman officers. And they asked him, listen what they asked him. They asked him to renounce his faith in Jesus Christ. They asked him to burn a pinch of incense just to show your respect for Caesar Augustus. Just show your respect. Just don't be so loyal to Jesus. Don't be so sanctimonious. Don't be so Holy Ghost filled. They asked him to show allegiance and to show loyalty to Caesar, and Polycarp refused. Well, they said to Polycarp, if you just offer incense to Caesar, we will give you your liberty. We will let you go. You can go back and continue to live out your life, but you must deny Christ. Polycarp said, can't do it. Can't do it. I'm 86 years old. I've served him, and he, listen, when I tell you, Polycarp says, he's never failed me yet. He's never led me wrong. Polycarp says, I cannot blaspheme my king. My king is the King of Kings. Well, the Roman soldiers heard that. They grabbed Polycarp. They took him to the stake to burn him. And they brought the wood. They brought the hammers. They brought nails that they might nail Polycarp almost like to the stake. And Polycarp saw them coming with all of this gear. He said, wait, y'all ain't got to tie me up. Y'all don't have to hold me here. You don't have to fasten me. I'm not a Johnny come later when it comes to Jesus. Ain't that good? He says, I'm not a judge. You don't have to hold me in order for me to. I stand on the promises of God. He says, and the same God who keeps me when life is good will keep me when it turns bad. He says, the same God who keeps me when I'm free will keep me in bondage. The same God who set me free will take care of me if I go in bondage. And so they left him loosely bound, and they lit the fires around him, and the flames arose up around him. He was heard while he was burning. I wonder, what do you do when you start burning in life? I wonder, what do you say when you burn in life? But Polycarp was heard in his burning crying out praises to God. He was heard in his burning rejoicing for being counted worthy to be set afire for Christ's sake. I mean, don't get happy if you don't want to, but I'm like Polycarp. Isn't it a blessing that folk want to put your eyes out because of your relationship with Jesus? Isn't it a blessing that folk want to put you out the pulpit because of your relationship with Jesus? Isn't it a blessing that they don't want you to usher? Because when you usher, we see Jesus. Isn't it a blessing? Don't play yet, Lewis. Let me just walk this thing a little bit. Isn't it a blessing that we don't want you to play, because when you play, we see Jesus. When the choir sings, we see Jesus. And if you stop calling Jesus' name, we'll stop talking about you. We'll take your name off the wings of the morning. And so Smyrna was a crushed church. But not only was Smyrna, anybody been crushed? Anybody here been crushed? Crushed on your job, crushed in your family, crushed, just crushed by life. But not only was Smyrna a crushed church, Smyrna was a consistent church. How do you know? Verse 9a says they paid a harsh price for their faithful love and service to the Lord. They did not back up from their professing of Jesus Christ. In other words, church, they stayed the course. They demonstrated a faithful testimony for the glory of God. Remember, Smyrna was famous for myrrh. It was only when the leaves of the tree were crushed that the beautiful fragrance was released. I mean, am I here by myself? And sometimes there's a beautiful fragrance in you that God cannot get out of you until he crushes you. Sometimes there's a smile in your face that God can't get out until he crushes you. Sometimes there's a praise in your heart that God cannot get out of you until he crushes you. Sometimes there's a devotion to studying the word of God. There's a devotion to Bible study. There's a devotion to tithing. There's a devotion to Sunday school. And God sometimes can't get that devotion out of us until he crushes you. He crushes you. So this church was being crushed under the terrible and terrifying pressure of the persecution that they were releasing. And they were releasing the fragrance of love. They were releasing the fragrance of faithfulness, the fragrance of hope, the fragrance of possibilities. What do you release when you're crushed? What do you release when you're crushed? What happens to you when you're crushed? And so I got to go. They had a positive testimony. They had a positive testimony. What do you mean by that? They were consistent. Not only did they have a positive testimony, they had a powerful testimony. Jesus said to them, I know your works. Now listen, the word works refers to the business which occupies a person's life. In spite of the darkness around them, they continue to be a light for Jesus. And Jesus says, I know. In spite of the people who were trying to put this church out of business, telling them, just don't mention the name Jesus. Jesus says, I know your work. And what he rejoices with this church is because they stuck to their task. What was their task? Glorifying God. They were consistent. They had a powerful testimony. They had a positive testimony, but they also had a purposeful testimony. One writer said, many dreamed their dreams and set their minds and to reach their goals. What will it profit a man to gain this world and lose his soul? They had a purposeful testimony. And so Smyrna was a crushed church. Somebody say crushed. 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 But not only was it crushed, it was a consistent church. Can you stay the course when you're being crushed? Can you hold on when you're being crushed? Can you still serve when you're being crushed? Can you still testify when you're being crushed? Can you still tithe when you're being crushed? Can you still give your offering of service, your offering of your talent, your offering of yourself? Can you still give when you're being crushed? Smyrna was crushed. They were not only crushed, they were consistent. But lastly, Smyrna was a comforted church. Jesus comes to this belligerent little church, gives them a message. He gives them a message of comfort that they desperately needed to hear. Nothing happens until Jesus says so. Nothing happens until Jesus comes. They had one, they had the interests of heaven. Jesus says, No. Now the Lord of glory has taken a personal interest in this church. The word no means I know by experience That's what know means. When Jesus says, I know, Jesus says, I know by experience. Now, if you wonder where to get happy right here, Jesus is saying to the church, what you've been through, I know. He said, did you not hear that this text comes from he who was dead? Now, I told you, you got to watch this episode. He who was dead and now is alive. He says, I know. I know about that cancer in your body. I know about that sickness. I know. I know about enemies. I know about sin. I know about trouble. I know about tribulation. I know about trials. He said, I know. I know you folks are having it tough, but you need to know that. Listen. Lewis, I'm going to get ready to get out of here. He says, I those of you who are going through. Now, all of you who are not going through, let's just consider the benediction now, and you can leave, because this part, this next 5 minutes, is for those who are going through. And if you're not going through or been through something, this won't help you at all. But for those of you who are going through, come here. Jesus, when he says, I know, you know what he's really saying? He's saying, you're not in it by yourself. Hit me right there, Lewis. That's right there. He says, you're not in this by yourself. He said, I ain't got nobody going through. Everybody living on Easy Street. But in case Hugo is one more person like me that's been through, Jesus says, I know. And he says, I experience. And he says, what you're going through, you're not in this by yourself. He's saying, I'm in this with you. Yeah. Yeah. He said, I'm in this with you. Listen, isn't that good news? To know that whatever you're going through on your job, and I know you get on that job and those folk get on your back and you feel like you're by yourself. Jesus says, no. He says, you're not in this by yourself. He says, I'm in this with you. He says, I know. He says, and I know I'm talking, wait. He says, I'm talking to some folk right here today. Your burdens are so heavy. Matter of fact, I can feel some of your burdens. Your burdens are so heavy, and you feel like that you're carrying these windy burdens alone. And Jesus said, if you were really carrying your burdens alone, you'd be walking like this. If you were carrying your burdens alone, you would be down like this. If you were carrying your burdens alone, you would be like this. And I'm talking to some folk in here, your burdens are so heavy that if you were carrying your burdens alone, you would be like this. 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 But that's not how you came in here. I watched many of you walk in this door, and I didn't see nobody walk in here like this. I didn't see nobody walk in here like that. Come here. Everybody in here. Everybody in here, when you came in that door, everybody walked in here. And the reason why you were able to walk in this place with all the troubles on your back, it's because you're not in this alone. He's saying to the church, you are not in this. Touch your neighbor and say, you're not in it. Come on. It's over now. I'm done.
I've done my part. I've done my part. And now it's time for you to do your part. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're not walking alone. Say, neighbor, you're not bearing this burden alone. You're not carrying this cross alone. So I guess I'm trying to tell you, that he walks with me and he talks with me
Good. Some of us are like that church at Smyrna, amen? And all we needed to hear today was that God is with us in it. No matter what we are going through, we can be just like that, knowing that God is with us. We can walk upright knowing that God is with us. We don't have to crawl around because God is with us, amen. And no matter what you're going through, you need to know that God is with you. Won't ever leave you. He won't ever forsake you. The door of the church is open now. The door of the church is open now. And this is the time where you can come forth and give your life to Jesus, knowing that no matter what you go through, he is with you. He's with you in it. Carry you through it. The doors of the church are open now. The doors of the church are open now. And you can come forth. Give these gentlemen your hand. Give God your life, your heart. We're not asking you to become necessarily a member of this church. While it's a mighty fine church to belong to if you are looking for a church home, but we are asking you to feel and respond to the Holy Spirit to come forth and give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share.
Thank you, Jesus.
As we take
will there be one?
None other has ever known.
He's a good God.
And he walks with me, and he talks
with me.
With me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we carry him, another.
Will there be one? Respond to the Holy Spirit. Touching hearts. Don't suppress that spirit if it's saying, come forth. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Did that word bless anybody today? Thank God for the word. So much power in the word. Let us not go out the same way we came in. Don't go out the same way you came in. If you came in heavy burden, don't go out of those doors the same way that you came in. Just know that God is with you. He that has an ear, what does the word say? Let him hear. Amen. We are going to recognize those celebrating their birthdays in the month of January. Are there any that celebrating a birthday in the month of January? We would ask that you stand now. Amen. Amen. Let's give them some love and sing happy birthday to them.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Hey.